You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen and good morning. Man, what a fun announcement. What a fun couple of weeks. We got to celebrate Easter and last Friday partner with InterVarsity and see four college students give their life to the Lord, which is really sweet. And today, if you haven't noticed, we have something unique up here. We're going to be celebrating baptisms at the end of our service, which is going to be great. Right now, I think we have 11 people being baptized in two services, and you know, it could grow. We always invite people to the spontaneous decision to be baptized today. If you've decided to follow Christ and you've never been baptized, scripturally, that's one of your next steps. And we actually have all kinds of clothes over here that you can change into and everything, because that might just be your journey this morning. Well, if we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. Excited to gather. We're going to be starting a new series this morning titled, You Can't Stay Here. You Can't Stay Here. We just celebrated the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And after Easter, the first disciples, the earliest disciples of Jesus, they kind of had to figure out what to do next. I mean, Jesus had just predicted his own death and resurrection. It happened just like he said it would. And then the disciples were gathering together, wondering, what should we do now? Where should we go and who should we talk to? And the short answer was, well, you can't stay here. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He has a purpose for your life. And that kind of good news has to be shared. I mean, just imagine with me the earliest disciples of Jesus. There's no way they could have kept that news to themselves. There's no way. I mean, it's the most compelling and mysterious, most powerful thing they had ever experienced in their life. It's the exact thing that Jesus predicted would happen, and it was the kind of news that had to be spread. It had to be shared. And the problem behind all of that is they knew that it was going to be awkward, and they knew that some people weren't going to take them seriously, and they knew that they were going to have to press beyond some of the fear into courage in order to share that news. It had to have been strange at first. Just imagine Peter going to his neighbor's house and saying, like, look, guys, I know what you've heard. I know that you've probably heard that I fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. I know that you've probably heard I ran away from Jesus in this time of greatest need, that I even denied knowing him three times. I'm sure you've heard all of that. I am a broken and a flawed man after all, but I'm telling you, he's alive. I've met with him. We've shared a meal together. He's taught me about the kingdom of God. He's taught me about all of these things needed to take place. And now I'm here to tell you today that he is alive and he's risen from the dead to forgive you of your sins, to make all the wrong things right. This is how it went. You know, and we read these stories and we just kind of enter into like a historical mindset. Like, these are stories being retold, and they are, but it's so much more than that. These are real people with real lives, real emotions and fear and boldness and courage all mixed together. And then we read about these passages, that it's just so much more alive and so much more real than we realize. And it's not just Peter. I mean, you can think about every single disciple. They all had their own story about how they were gonna navigate the news of the resurrected Lord. It was dozens of people. Even last Easter, I talked about how at one point, Jesus met with 500 people at the same time, proving to them that he was actually alive. 500 people at the same time. That's like both our services combined. Jesus just walking up on stage, having a sip of coffee, and being like, here I am. I'm alive. I told you it was gonna happen, and here I am. I mean, imagine if that happened in your life. There's no way you'd be able to keep that to yourself. There's no way you'd be able to keep that kind of news and that kind of life-changing experience and encounter to yourself. And when you read the scriptures, when you open the Gospels and the book of Acts, and you study the life of the earliest followers of Christ, almost 100% of the time, after an encounter like that, the instruction was the same. Go and tell others. Go and tell others what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced. Go and take this news to the people around you. In other words, you can't stay here. Your faith, your personal faith, and the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he lived among us and died on the cross, and 3 days later rose from the grave in order to forgive sins and make all the wrong things right, that kind of news isn't supposed to be kept to yourself. It's meant and designed to be shared. And in a way, it's a perfect Sunday for a baptism. Right, it's a perfect Sunday for a baptism because at the end of our service, we're gonna have a number of baptisms this morning, and each person who gets baptized is saying in front of this entire church, I have decided to identify with Jesus. They're going public with their faith in this beautiful way. When they go under the water, they're saying, I'm dying to my old life. When they come up out of the water, they're saying, I'm embracing my new life in Christ, and this is meant to be shared publicly with the entire church. Now, you could be here this morning and this could all be news to you. That maybe you've never started a life with God in the first place. And you're gonna experience baptisms, we're gonna open the Bible together, but you might be saying, I've never actually started a life with God. I've never surrendered my life to Jesus in the first place. And if that's you, we are so glad that you're here because every Sunday we gather, we always invite people to make a first-time commitment to start a life with God. And we would love to help you do that later in our service this morning. But first, as I said, we're gonna open the scriptures together. Because this whole idea that your faith can't stay here, that it's not supposed to just kind of stay within these walls or keep quiet within your own heart, I didn't come up with this idea. It's everywhere in scripture. It's been the design of your faith since the very beginning. This is how Jesus planned it. And so we're gonna open the Bible. I'm gonna read two passages this morning. The first is going to be from Luke chapter 24, the end of the Gospel of Luke. And the second is going to be from Acts 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can look at Luke 24 and Acts 1. And I love these passages back to back because they were actually written by the same guy, a doctor named Luke. And the first book that I'm going to read, Luke, recorded the life of Jesus. And then Acts kind of records the birth of the early church and the earliest followers of Christ. And so we're going to read these back to back and we're going to pull from these scriptures this morning. Let's start in Luke 24, starting in verse 44. Then he said, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now in this passage, at the end of Luke 24, there's an incredible amount of important things in this passage and also like really interesting things. Like I found myself wondering, how did he open their minds? How did he open their mind? Was it like a miracle? And then bam, all of a sudden the Old Testament just kind of came into perfect unity in their minds and it was like a miracle in how they understood the scriptures. Or was it more like the road to Emmaus? Where over conversation and over description and instruction, their minds were opened and these pieces were put together. It's probably a little bit of both, to be honest. But the important thing for today and really the entire rest of this series is that we have to recognize there is authority in his name. There's authority in his name that he suffered and died, was buried and rose back to life in order to offer forgiveness to all who turn to God. And then in verse 48 is vital for us in this series. He said, you are witnesses of all these things. You are witnesses of all these things. That's how it kind of begins in Luke 24. Now to Acts chapter 1, probably just a few days or maybe a few weeks after. This is how the beginning of Acts reads, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the coming, about the kingdom of God." You just move down a few verses to verse 8, because this is where it kind of all pulls together. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses," kind of a command there. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, these two passages together, it's how Luke designed it, the end of Luke, right into the beginning of Acts. And they really help us begin to understand at least part of our calling as Christians. Part of our calling as followers of Christ is to be a witness. To be a witness. Luke 24, there's authority in his name, and you are witnesses of all that you have seen. In Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You and I and everyone who follows Jesus, we are called to be a witness. It's made clear in Scripture. Jesus didn't make it confusing at all. He made it crystal clear that this is part of the life of a follower of Christ. Now, the Bible talks about witnesses or witnessing all of the time. And something that I love when you really dig into the study of what this word witness means is that it's both individual and collective. It's not either or, it's both and. It's you and kind of we together. But the word witness in the Bible, it simply means someone who has seen something and someone who shares something. Not just seen, but to be a witness means you see it and you share it. That's part of what it is. And so if you have seen and experienced the love of God or the forgiveness of sins, the newness of life that you can find in a relationship with Christ, you are called to bear witness to those things, to bear witness to all that God has done. That's your personal invitation. And then, of course, when we gather together and we sing the scriptures, we sing songs together, we open the Bible to open, to expand our understanding and to declare the word of God, when we take communion and pray together, even when we eat together, we are gathering together to bear witness to the goodness of God. It's both you and us collectively. This is why Hebrews chapter 12 says that we have joined a great crowd of witnesses. A great crowd of witnesses, that we have united ourselves to the global and historic church. It's not just us here, but there are millions of people doing the same thing that we're doing all around the world, and many more who have come before us. Now, the reason why you have to say you and we is because some people, they'll rely too heavily on one or the other. Right? That some of us in this room, we're really good at sharing things personally and maybe not so great at like the community part. We're really good at sharing things personally, but we struggle with the community, and others rely too much on the together part. You kind of want the church to do all of the work. But it's not either or, it's both and. It's you and we. It's individual and collective. You bear witness and we bear witness to all that God has done. Christianity was simply never designed to be a spectator sport. And I'm a spectator a lot right now. I watch a lot of soccer games, and all the parents are the same. We all yell the same thing: run faster, try hard. It's funny. It's like it's in all of our vocabularies, right? And then occasionally, not everybody, but maybe one of the Fausts, either Natalie or I, I'll let you decide, says something to the referees. It's Natalie. No, it's not. It's definitely me. It's definitely me. But Christianity isn't supposed to be a spectator sport of just like a bunch of angry people on the sideline yelling at people to try harder and do better. Christianity was designed for each and every one of us to participate in the goodness of God, the glory of his purposes, to join him in the mission of transforming all things. And in case I'm already starting to lose you, let me just rein it in just a little bit. Being a witness doesn't mean you have to be like an incredible evangelist. Those are two different things. They're two different things. Being a witness is different than being an evangelist. They're similar, but they're also distinct. Not everyone in this room is going to be a gifted evangelist. Not everyone is called to that, but everyone is called to be a witness. An evangelist, when you read the New Testament, particularly in Ephesians chapter 5, is someone uniquely gifted at communicating the truth of the gospel to equip the church and deliver the message of God's good news to people. That's kind of an evangelist's job. Not everyone will be a gifted evangelist, but we can all witness. We can all bear witness to what God has done in our life. We can share the significance and the meaning that we found from a life with Christ and your own personal faith in him. Now, if you find yourself here this morning, you're like, that is something I really want to grow in. I'm not very good at being a witness. I don't even know where to start, or I've tried before and I just feel so awkward and I don't know what to do. Then let me just give you a quick commercial for you this morning. I want to invite you to our next boot camp. We have spiritual boot camps on the third Sunday of each month after the second service, right out those doors at 11:37. We share a meal, we sit at round tables, we go through some teaching, and we practice our faith so that we can be trained and equipped to do the things that God's asked us to do. And every boot camp this year is all about the kingdom of God. And next Sunday's boot camp is about how to be a witness, how to share your faith. It's about proclaiming the message of God, whether that's in word or deed, in big ways or in small ways, but it's definitely going to be in accordance with your personality, the story that God has given you, and how to do that without a microphone. We want to get really practical and help folks learn how to be a witness. And so if that interests you, go to votrweekly.org. Make sure you sign up and register. That way we know how many lunches to buy and how we can organize childcare. But again, we would love to have you at our next boot camp. And I just want to get really practical for a couple of minutes too, because I do think when we start talking about being a witness, we have a tendency to really overcomplicate things. Like we've got to be the next C.S. Lewis or apologist or something like that. And that's not true at all. You're called to be a witness, and quite simply, the only thing you're called to is to witness to what you've witnessed. That's it. Witness to what you've witnessed. Don't overthink it. Simply share what you have experienced. Witness to what you have witnessed. In both Luke and Acts, Jesus basically told them the same thing. Tell them what you've seen. Tell them what you've experienced. In Luke, it was the opening of their minds that the Old Testament began to make sense, pointing to Jesus, that through his suffering and death and resurrection, there's forgiveness of sins, there's authority in the name of Jesus. He said, go and tell them what you've seen. And the book of Acts was much the same. He met with his disciples for over 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of God and telling them all to go and tell the others about it. Go and tell the others what you've seen these last 40 days. And that was their life, but what about yours? What have you seen? What have you heard? What have you witnessed? Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. And worse yet, don't like make up a story that's not authentic to you. What is your story with God, and how can you bear witness to that to the world around you? How has Jesus transformed your life? Is there something you've been forgiven for in your past that when it got lifted, it just felt like a ton of bricks being lifted off of your heart, that finally you've been set free? How have you grown in the last days or weeks or months or years? Is there something you're still hoping for? Has a marriage been saved or a friendship been reconciled? If you're part of a small group that is a wonderful group of a spiritual community that's praying for you and encouraging you, tell others about how friendships and godly community have impacted your life. If this church has blessed you, if you experience God's presence in the worship or the prayer, as we open the scriptures together, God speaks to you, whatever it is, you can witness to God's love by inviting people into the very community where you find yourself. We have all kinds of things, right? Youth group, kids ministry, every tribe, every nation, Celebrate Recovery, Alpha, the future of Love Foco. All of these things can be part of your witness if you've experienced them yourself. Simply witness to what you have witnessed. And honestly, it keeps getting better. When you read the book of Acts, it just keeps getting better and better and better, because not only do you just have to share your own story, the story that God's placed in your heart, but you get to witness with his power. You get to witness with his power. I mean, you can try on your own. I know I've tried to witness in my own strength and in my own power. It doesn't work very well. It seems to always fall short of the fullness of what God has promised, but you can witness with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this takes all the pressure off. It takes all the pressure off. Now it's no longer about like your charisma or your ability to put all the right words in a sentence or to overcome obstacles and answer like life's hardest questions. You don't have to do any of that. You can just stay connected to God, trusting that his power is at work. It's all about his faithfulness, his love, his spirit anyway. It's not about our power. We get to just follow him and trust him with all the results. I mean, I have for quite some time been quite comfortable being an amateur witness filled with the power of God. I think, honestly, it's the best way to do it. To just embrace being an amateur at all these things when it comes to following the Lord, but trust that his power is with you. It's his power that opens hearts. It's his power that heals the sick or helps people understand the power of the cross. I can't convince anyone. You can't convince anyone. Just bear witness to what you've witnessed and stay connected to his power while you're doing it. The rest is totally up to God. It's always up to God, and it just takes the pressure off. Look at Acts 1:8 again. This will remind you of his power, but it will also give us kind of our final step for this morning. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you're looking for a what, the what is simple. You know, be a witness to what you've witnessed. The how is through his power. And the where is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In other words, be a witness everywhere. Be a witness everywhere. Whether it's work or school, your classmates, your teammates, your neighborhood, your family and friends, it's anywhere and everywhere. Witness everywhere you go. It's simple invites. It's sharing about what God's doing in your life and what you're hoping for. It's praying for your neighbors and serving the people around you. It's all of those things, but I just don't want you to feel bound to a particular place. It's everywhere. All the places around you, all the places you find yourself, those are the places that need your witness. They need your witness. There are millions of people online. Are you online? Are you like a social media guru? I'm not. If I was, I'd probably be on TikTok trying to figure it out. Because there's a bunch of people there. And I'd love to share my witness there. I just don't know like how to do those things. But you might. You might. And you should try to be a witness in those spaces. For me, most of my life is spent on the sidelines trying to be a good witness, not a bad witness. But being a good witness with the parents and the teammates, it's spent at school activities or in and around my neighborhood. I play golf. And so I love meeting new people and being a witness to the folks that I meet when I'm playing golf. I mean, it's probably different for all of us. We find ourselves in all kinds of different spaces in this city and in this world. And I think God has done that on purpose. He spread us all around on purpose because you will be better in certain places than me, and I'll be better in certain places than the next person. But together, he scattered us around northern Colorado so that more of our area could experience his goodness and love. And I am telling you, the world is waiting for your witness. The world is waiting for your witness. And I want to end by just giving you one small piece of encouragement. Because if you start trying this out, if you start trying to bear witness to all God has done in your life and all he is doing in the world around you, it will be the most countercultural thing that you could do right now. It will be the most countercultural thing that you can do. And listen, like, it would be easy to fly under the radar. It would. It'd be easy to just kind of be a nice, quiet Christian and keep your faith to yourself. And that's tempting sometimes, isn't it? I mean, I think it's tempting for all of us, because when you start to witness about the goodness of God, it can be a little uncomfortable. And us humans, we tend to want comfort in our lives, not uncomfortable things. And so it will be a little uncomfortable, but it will be the most countercultural thing that you can do. And the world needs your witness. The world needs what God has placed inside your heart. It is going to help someone else encounter the loving mercy and unfailing goodness of God. Luke 24 and Acts 1, be a witness to what you've witnessed. Witness with his power and witness everywhere you go. Let's pray together.